Shalom Aleichem. As we turn the page to Shabbos, to Sefer Bamidbar, we are struck at the very beginning of the Sefer, at the very beginning of the Parsha, with a portion that people often do not speak about, they don't analyze, something that is read quickly without fanfare in shul. That's namely the counting of the various Shvatim for the purpose of perhaps the Muhammad. As Bnei Yisrael now plans on coming into the land of Israel, so there was a need for a count. And the question that the Rishonim pose is, why now? We already had earlier in the Torah that in the collection of the various goods, in the collection of the various items for the Mishkan, so they did a survey of Bnei Yisrael then, that wasn't so long ago, it was a year ago. So why now do we need that same survey to go through every single Shevet and say how many men were in this Shevet and how many men were in that Shevet? So the Rashbam answers very simply. The Rashbam said, you know, the reason is because, as I mentioned before, we need to know how many people will be ready, will be prepared, will be of the right age to serve in the military. And in fact, we know that the age of military service is 20 years old. That coincides with the idea in Pirkei Avos that the year 20 is for Gevura. So we know, of course, that that's an age where people mature physically and mature in life, ready to fight in the battle. And that's why the Torah here goes through this entire list. And that pshat of the Rashbam is further highlighted or further supported by the fact that in this census, the Levites, the Levim, will not be included because, of course, we know that the Levim were not the soldiers, they were not the landowners, they were the spiritual leaders of the nation, and therefore their absence from this list, again, speaks to the Rashbam's point that the purpose of this survey was to understand militarily what they could count on moving forward as they were about to enter, or what they thought that they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. Now, some Rishonim, they point out, and if you go through this parsha, that this pshat of the Rashbam, just on face value, would seem to be somewhat unusual. Because if this is only about a military number, so instead of the 55 psukim that were used to speak about this parsha, so you could have just said, this Shevet had 40,000, this Shevet had 60,000. You could have even lumped them all together if you wanted. You could have trimmed Parshas Bamidbar for some poor bar mitzvah buffer many, many years down the road from the very lengthy sum, again, 54 psukim dealing with this specific parsha and this specific topic, to something certainly far more manageable, far less detailed. But the Torah does not choose to go in that direction. And the Torah just takes every single Shevet, leaves name Menashe, Toto, some Mishpachot, some Leveis, some Bin Nisbar Shemos, Biben Esrim Shana, Bamala, Ko Yosei Tzavam, Pekudehem, Bamatei Menashe, Shnaim Shloshim Elef, Masayim, and on and on, sort of this like lengthy description of each Shevet. The question is why? Why go ahead and have to go through this whole, for lack of a better word, rigmarole about this census and about this census for the Milchama? So I want to just mention the three pshatim brought down by the Ramban. Even if all we do in the next few minutes is mention the three pshatim of the Ramban, I still think it's something which is very, very worthwhile and very beautiful. The Ramban is at the end of this perek, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Memhei, Vayukol Pekudei B'nei Yisrael, Leveis Avosam, etc. And the Ramban says, as a question that we've been discussing, why have such length, such detail, such expansiveness about this issue? Simply state how many people there were and move on. So Ramban said, I'll give you three different pshatim why we have this list. One pshat, and for the Ramban, this is his last pshat, this is the third pshat, is very similar to the Rashbam. He said, this is the normal way of people when they go off to battle. This is the way of more, the way of people when they go out to fight a Muhammad, that they go through Shevet by Shevet, person by person, and that this is just the normal state of affairs when it comes to going out to battle. And the Ramban said, and we know that, of course, that as a Jewish people, we do not rely on Nitzan. We don't say we're going to go into Israel and God will, you know, kaviyachol, snap his fingers and take care of everything, but that we prepare for battle in the same way as every other nation, and we're not sonachal hanes. That line in the Ramban, that we're not sonachal hanes, is fascinating. We know the Ramban says that in other places as well. For instance, in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, when the Ramban was discussing what in fact was wrong with what the Meraglim did, the Ramban said, don't think for a second that the issue is sending in spies, because we're not supposed to rely on a miracle, and everything that Moshe Rabbeinu did and requested was totally appropriate. So the Ramban said again, we're not so mechalanates. We need a good military, we need a military budget, we need an iron dome, we need all of those things, says the Ramban. At the same time, we know, and the Ramban says this in different ways, but in many, many different places, especially at the end of Parshas Bo, where the Ramban said that everything, in fact, in life is miraculous. There's no such thing as normal nature, normal rules of nature. Every single thing that happens is miyad Hashem. There's no sort of natural order of the world, but rather everything is driven by God, so to speak. So in the same line that the Ramban said that we cannot rely on miracles and we have to live life based on the normal laws of nature, the Ramban also says, and by the way, there really are not laws of nature. There's a certain irony, a certain paradox of the Ramban to not rely on miracles, but at the same time, every single thing, even things that appear to be laws of nature, laws of physics, in fact, are miraculous. And again, that's an interesting paradox for the Ramban. But again, the Ramban's first shot to answer this question is that this is just the normal way that armies march into Israel, and therefore counting thoroughly, all that is just, we do it b'derech ha-teva. So the second shot the Ramban gave, and especially to me, one of my favorite Rambans ala Torah, and of course, to say that somebody has a favorite Ramban ala Torah, you recognize the fact that it's probably in competition with about 200 other Rambans, because the Ramban just had so much. This the one could almost say that Hashkafos HaChayim, Hashkafos HaYadus, if you want to look in one source like more than any other, you probably look at Ramban ala Torah as far as the foundations of faith and thought. I mentioned before the Aaron Lichtenstein was asked in a question and answer if he has to go on a desert island, so which Svarim or which Sefer would he bring with him? So I believe he said the Medrash Rabbah and the Ramban al HaTorah. So if Aaron is stuck out an island somewhere, Havel Shalom, he would brought the Ramban al HaTorah. This almost every piece is meaningful. So the Ramban said that the following. The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu did the count was because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to connect with every person. I read even a line or two in the Ramban. The old ki haba lifnei av ha-neviim, when a potential soldier would come in front of the father of the prophets, the echav kadosh Hashem, and Moshe's brother Aaron, who noda aleihem bishmo, and the person comes and says, I'm Joe Schwartz from Shevet Menashe. Yelo b'davar hazeh schos v'chayim. This person will have great merit and great life because of the interpersonal connection, even just for a few moments that they might have had with Moshe and Aaron. Ki ba b'sod ha'am u'b'sav b'nei Yisrael b'tzchus ha'rabim b'mitzram v'chein l'kulam tzchus v'mitzbar sh'yimnu l'snei Moshe v'Aaron ki yaskimu aleyem einam l'tova. Moshe and Aaron will look upon them, place their eyes upon him l'tova for good. Yivakshu aleyem rachamim. Moshe and Aaron will plead, will ask for mercy on behalf of these soldiers, etc., etc. And the Ramban continues along the same lines. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosa b'chvod b'gdolo l'chol echad v'yechad. Each person would be counted individually. Lo tiya omer l'rosh ha-mishpacha. Moshe doesn't tell the head of the family, kama b'mishpacha. How many people in your family, you know, is write down the number, 30,000, 40,000. That's not what happened at all. He doesn't tell him kama banim yeshlecha, how many sons do you have? Elakulun yahon ovrim lefanecha b'emo b'chavod. Each son would be counted individually. Each son would there be sort of that personal connection with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'atam mona osam, and you go ahead and you count them. And therefore, the count was extensive. The count was expansive. Again, according to the Ramban, because Moshe Rabbeinu counted the Shvatim expansively. Every person walking in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if I could add on, what a beautiful mussar that is, at least to me, that even as they prepare to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and we're speaking about 600,000 men between those ages, with all of the various commotion, the hullabaloo, the various things that were going on in preparation to go into Eretz Yisrael, but even in those moments, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Mitzvah Moshe Rabbeinu, to count the heads of every single person, make eye contact to them, give them a bracha, give them a sense of confidence as they march into Israel. Well, what a statement that is about Jewish leadership and the significance of the individual, the significance of every person. And I believe that's a mentality that we've integrated into our own lives. There's a third pshat of the Ramban, and here the Ramban is echoing the sentiments of Rashi and the Medrash Rabbah, that Rashi can be found at the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, very simply, that this long, extensive count was there to highlight and to illuminate the miraculous nature of Jewish history, a miracle that we continue to feel, to live, to experience to this day. That a nation of 70 souls who came down to Mitzrayim, and then just a few hundred years later, that same nation would be prepared to go into Eretz Yisrael with such a multitude, 600,000 just men. And therefore, there's not just a statement of number in one pasuk, 600,000. Perhaps that would not highlight the miraculous transformation from a nation just of a few souls, even living in the Mitzrayim, even with everything going on, even with everything that happened in the Midbar until now. But if we just state a number in one pasuk, that would not highlight the transformation from a nation of just a handful of souls to a nation of such strength. And therefore, said the Ramban, again, echoing Rashi, the psukim go through in depth that it strikes us just how miraculous, how sensational this is, this nation about to enter into the land of Israel. And again, that's something that probably we all experience when we think about the strength of the Jewish people living in the land of Israel. And we think about every possibility, how many different turns, how many different excuses, how many times it seemed as though the land, the nation would not prosper. You speak about the Ramban and the Ramban coming to Eretz Yisrael, describing the inability to find a minyan when he arrived there, and now look some 800 years later at the state of life in Eretz Yisrael, which is more like some 150 years later. It is a sense, it fills us with a sense of pride, a sense of deep hakaras hatov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and a sense of faith. Now, let me just add on, if I can, just one comment about that statement, that ha'ara by the Ramban, that sometimes the Torah is sending us a message, and the Ramban has said this in many places, of something that is in fact miraculous, but they do so in the language of this ordinary daily life, ordinary daily preparations, the normal mechanisms that communities, that people go through in their own lives. And here too also, the Torah doesn't talk anything about miracles, about Nisim, about Yad Hashem. It simply takes a parak, a very long parak at that, to go through list of numbers of Shvatim, of men, each Shevet with such and such amount of people. Again, very common, almost what you'd almost find in the register in a local county office. But perhaps the point is exactly that. The real miracles in life are not the ones found at the top of a mountaintop, are not the ones that are necessarily explicit, that present themselves as miracles, but sometimes just in the daily minion of life's days, of life's numbers, of the count of a person's children, of their family, of the days of their life, just normal human affairs. It's often the beauty, it's often the miracle that's found within that. And certainly a paradigmatic example of that reality is found here at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. Wish all of you bracha the Shabbos, the bracha that we do everything we have to do to fulfill our need for preparation, for making a living. We're given the koach to do that in the same way that the nation prepared themselves to go into the land of Israel. Give us a bracha that we focus on the individual soul of each of our children, each of our friends, each member of the community, each person who might be sitting outside was a kosher, collecting money, each person working was a kosher, each person, said the Ramban, needed to be looked at, connected to by Moshe and Aaron. And lastly, for all of us to experience the transformation in our lives, and often that transformation and the miraculous transformation often takes place in quiet corners, sort of between the cracks, between the crevices, so to speak, and for us to recognize the beautiful Yad Hashem in our lives, to celebrate that, embrace that, and have that be a source of tremendous growth for ourselves, for our family, and for all of Israel. Have a good Shabbos, and thank you for calling in.